Blog Talk Radio.
What up, fellow Americans, it is with the utmost pride and sincerity that I present this recording as a living testament and recollection of history in the making during our generation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself.
My name is Dr. Dre.
Yeah. Yeah. Robert Ford.
Okay, we get it. Start the show.
All right, here we go.
I see you, Rob.
Huh?
I see you.
Okay, I'm here.
Oh, I love it. What's up? Again, we are officially talking sports with the 12th man. We got a little disjointed bunch here. Apparently, Gary is on the road. Curtis is by himself, but it's all good. Every day above ground is a good time, as Curtis just said. JQ in the house, Rob in the house. Good to have him in the house as well. So, fellas, let's get this party started as the month of October quickly starts coming to an end. And we got, don't forget to set your clocks back on Sunday as well. But, again, what's going on? Let's get the party started. JQ, how you feeling, bro?
I'm good, man. I'm sorry. I'll be on the Zoom a little bit. Was just running a little late. Getting ready to have my girls here. My wife is going out of town this weekend, so I got the girls for Halloween weekend, but I'm going to take them to FC Cincinnati and Atlanta United on Sunday. So get a little daddy-daughter time going and hang out. How you doing, bro?
Doing good. That's awesome, man. Okay.
Awesome. Yeah. I thought you were going to make them watch that Penn State-Ohio State game with you on Halloween night.
No, I ain't going to do it like that. I will be watching the game. But my plan is, my best friend lives here, and he's got two kids about the same age as me. So we'll probably get together and let them, just buy some candy to stay in and let them hang out. And you already know Ohio State, Penn State is having it. Even if I'm walking around the neighborhood, if it comes to that, I will be on my phone. So there's no question I will be watching that game.
Oh, man.
We love it. We love it. Rob Ford, how you doing, bro?
Hey, man, feeling great. Couldn't be better. Doing good. And, hey, ready to talk some sports.
Nice. When do you travel?
A little chilly in here, man. Houston is too cold for Houston, man. 48 degrees.
48
degrees?
It's
not supposed to be that cold in here.
I was in the World Series last night, only 39.
Ooh. Oh, yeah, they forgot the fur in 48.
Yeah.
Nice. Curtis, how you doing, man?
Oh, man, like I said, every day above ground is a good day. And I'll quantify, I had a bad fall on Sunday, and I had a bad fall today.
Oh.
But.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that, man.
Well, it's adjustments, and it's something I got to deal with. But I got tickled, and I think the whole NFL got tickled. Daniel Jones. On his way to the end zone.
Oh, my God.
Oh, man. Was that funny? Now, that's
hilarious. The memes are hilarious. But you saw that. It said that he either tied or I think he beat Lamar Jackson for the fastest running back miles per hour since, 2016. He was at, 21.6 miles per hour. That dude ain't used to running that fast. He couldn't keep his legs underneath him, man.
Who's this?
David Jones, when he played Philly.
Oh,
he,
man, that was hilarious. that was hilarious.
But he chopped out. He was riding, though. Because he was riding.
He
ain't used to riding 22 miles an hour. He was up to, 21.6 miles per hour at his peak on that run. You can make fun of him because he failed. But when's the last time you got over 20 miles an hour on any runs you've ever taken? Or at least one here in the last couple, decade. He was moving. I give him credit.
Man. Come on.
Man, he reminded me of Andre when we was playing flag football down at Phillips Arena.
Oh, my God.
My thing is, boy, all the football I play, if I got a path to the end zone, there's no stopping me from getting to the end zone. Now, this
last time
was
we went
on
out
this
22 miles
to the
an
end
hour.
Zone, crystal clear, and
yeah.
That, wow,
He got to live with. Don't get me wrong, but when's the last time you got almost to 22 miles an hour on a crystal clear? Like, that's almost like running a 100 meter dash in high school, right? Where it's just wide open and you're running. If you haven't run that in 15 years and you see that end zone, it probably gets as big as the ocean. He just fell. It was hilarious. Don't get me wrong, but he ain't ran a 100 meter dash since he was probably 14 years old. He was running a 100 meter dash and promptly fell. That's a good call, Curtis. That was hilarious. I was watching that live when it happened. With a Giants fan, he was like, oh, my God, they're going to kill him. And sure enough, they've been murdering him on social media.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Watched that live, too, when it happened, and I just couldn't help but bust out laughing.
My mouth was open. It was, what?
Yeah.
Wow.
That's funny.
I don't like that. Anyway, let's get this party started here as always, man. Let's get the numbers out to the show. You want to call in? As always, the same signature, the 424-243-9519 is the number. Follow us on Twitter, which is at the number 12, THMN Sports. And last but not least, we are on Facebook. If you go to facebook.com/talkingsports, the 12th minute, if you type in 12th man sports, you will find us as well. So right off the gate, you know, speaking of some folks not making wise decisions, doing some crazy stuff, you had right off the cuff, we're going to talk about some Dodgers here. And we had Turner celebrating after a positive COVID test. And that's, I mean, he went from, like, hero to goat and, like villain goat, if you will, in, like, 2.5
seconds.
Split
second.
So, Rob, what do you got to say about that? And lead us off with this, man. That's crazy.
Well, you know, totally irresponsible, first of all. I mean, yeah, I know you want to celebrate with your team. You just won a World Series, which is a great, a hell of an accomplishment. And congratulations to the Dodgers and the Los Angeles. I mean, they got two championships in 17 days. I mean, unbelievable. And I know this was a battle of the champion cities because Tampa just won the hockey championship, too. So whoever won, the city would have had a second championship. So, you know, very intriguing as well. But congratulations to the Dodgers. But, yeah, very irresponsible by Justin Turner. And very irresponsible by the Dodgers for not keeping him away from the celebration, too, at all. I mean, it seems as though he must have been asymptomatic for him to play almost in a whole game.
Possible.
And, so I'm assuming he had to be asymptomatic. For him not to know that he wasn't feeling well and things of that nature, or didn't know the virus. But everybody responds to this virus differently, as we've seen all across the world here. And for them to, for them not to prevent him from going out on the field in a celebration, for him not to prevent himself from going out on the field in a celebration, was totally, obviously irresponsible. Thankfully, everybody else so far for both teams have tested negative. Both teams was able to depart Tampa. Of course, Turner and his wife had to stay back in Tampa. They weren't able to travel because of obviously the positive test. But thankfully, no one else has tested positive on both the Rays and the Dodgers. But still, totally irresponsible. It sends the wrong message. And, you know, it really just shows you where we are as a country right now. We're just not handling this virus correctly.
We're not listening.
As a country.
Listening.
And you know, obviously it starts with the head, right? And and it's worked its way all the way to baseball. We're just not handling this virus correctly. And shame on Turner, shame on the Dodgers, shame on Major League Baseball, too. It just did not handle that properly.
Yeah, and the thing that you not glossed over, but is very, you know, germane to the matter is the fact they pulled him in the eighth inning because he tested positive, and they pulled him out the game in the eighth inning. And that's what's lost in that. They pulled him out the game.
Yeah.
He knew that he had tested positive, and they won, and he ran to the field. And it's like, you know, Jason Williams and Keyshawn Johnson had a really interesting conversation about it on their ESPN radio broadcast earlier today, and I can see both sides of it, but you still got to err to the side of caution. Once you get pulled and you already know, you as a person and as a Dodgers organization, it should even take baseball to come into it to say, hey, come on now. He can't be part of it, and I know he just – and the thing about it is I know you just won the World Series, and to tell that dude to sit in the dugout and celebrate by himself while everybody's mobbing each other on the field when you just won the World Series and you worked so hard to do that, is a really, really hard self-restraint thing to have happened. But they should have had that happen as a personal level for Justin Turner and as the organization level for the Dodgers. And the irresponsibility of it is also of, hey, the bubble is over. So who cares, right? You know, we've won. There is no game seven.
Care.
There are no other rounds. So we don't have to worry about are we going to affect another team and have games be postponed because it's over so we can do what we want.
You can still take others around you.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And what you're starting into potentially is a super spreader event of you've got it. Now you're bumping and jumping onto all these dudes. And now they may potentially get it, and then they go to wherever city they're going to with their families, and their people might get it, and everybody in their family might go interact with other people, and then they get it, and it becomes such a bigger thing than you think in that moment of time when you won the World Series of what it could be. And it's hard. Don't get me wrong. It's super hard to tell somebody when they won the World Series, sit on this dugout bench and celebrate by yourself or go to the clubhouse and potentially just wait on us. But even if you wait on them, those same dudes are coming down to you. So you almost have to leave the stadium and go celebrate by yourself. I get that that's hard, but they have to be professionals and be above that and understand what the ramifications of that could be. The fact that you said they all tested negative is really good, but that could really have turned out to be really bad to where he does that and he takes that and they just become a super spreader event and it goes everywhere. So Justin Turner and the Dodgers and Major League Baseball have to look at it and not a micro level, but at a macro level of what could happen if you let that go on and what that could do to all these other families and communities these people are going back to. It was really crazy.
Yeah. And, I mean, I echo what both you guys said, and it just turns my stomach to see the selfishness. And it is selfish. Selfish.
Yeah, I got you.
And like you said, you see it in your communities, and I see it in my travels. That same kind of irresponsibility and lack of care. I wear a mask because I'm trying to protect everybody else out there.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. I'm not, you know, I don't believe I got corona, and I don't believe I'm going to get corona. But I want to protect everybody else that's out there, and I don't want to be selfish, and I want to protect my community as best I can. But we see a bunch of Americans that don't have that same attitude I have, and it hurts my heart, and it hurts my stomach.
Yeah. Yep.
And we're paying for it.
Yeah. Yep.
See, when,
that's what everyone said.
The first wave, but the second and third wave is the problem. See, because we didn't really have to have this, but it's because of people's own stupidity that we're in the second and third wave, and that's why it's spreading now, because nobody wants to listen anymore. Like, oh, forget about the mask. Well, it's not going to matter. What do we care? We're just going to do our own thing anyway. Forget this. And that's what's causing this spike to go up, and people are just not listening anymore because they've had with it. But at the same time, it is being stupid, or better word be irresponsible, and the rest of us who want to get back to as normal as possible are paying the price for it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that's a good call, just to kind of echo what everyone said too. It's kind of messed up because you said it, which is pretty interesting too, JQ, and the fact they took him out in the eighth inning. Like, they wanted to make sure that the game was well in hand and they're going to take him out. You know, so I don't think that was really good by the Dodgers, man. So shame on you, Dodgers, as Rob said, Major League Baseball. I mean, we just, you know, it was kind of a crazy thing that we were able to get the season in, but everything that happened, you know, everything was going wrong. Everyone was testing positive and got it together in the bubble and then kind of had a great season. And then you kind of go back to this too. So there's a lot of things that still, as you said, you know, you need to get adjusted. And like you said, I'm glad that no one was positive. And yeah, he could have been asymptomatic, but just it's just not a good look from what's happening right now in the state of the affairs of the world right now. So, you know, something to, again, think about. Hey, guys, let's talk about next thing. We're going to let Rob and this is pretty interesting,
ooh,
too.
Let
man.
Me go
so,
first.
Yeah, Blake Snell, like, he gets taken out. Who wants to go first? Who said to go first? Who's that?
Me.
Oh, okay,
thank
yeah.
You.
This is interesting how he got – taken out. Yeah, I'll let you go first. Go ahead, man.
No, you can finish it. It was because it was so ignorant. And listen, we all are smart dudes on this call. And we get that people, you know, especially the Tampa organization, is really into the advanced metrics and the third time through the lineup. But you got to let your eye test also override the metrics. Blake Snell was out there dealing against
balling.
The Dodgers. That
balling.
Dodgers lineup that we just talked about had only given up. When he got pulled, he only gave up his second hit of the game, and he already had 9 strikeouts. He was at 74 pitches in the sixth inning, and they took him out. And the dude they brought in, I think the stat was that he has given up an earned run in like his last 8 appearances consecutively. And not only did you take Blake Snell out, you brought this dude in. He probably gives up all the ass. And the Dodgers take the lead, and they go on to win the game. Like, I just don't understand that. At some point, you know, and I'll be quiet to let y'all talk about it. At some point, you've got to let the eye test of how well your pitcher is dealing and what he's earned from a respect standpoint within the context of that game of until he gives up at least one run or gets into a crazy jam, you've got to give him that respect. It was only a single. Like, it wasn't a triple. You know what I mean? Like, it was a single that he gave up. He wasn't laboring. He had given up 2 singles in that game.
What was his pitch
and
count
talk about 74 pitches in the sixth inning, and they took him out. He had struck out Mookie Betts twice.
That wasn't right at all. That was stupid.
Yeah, and then Mookie Betts after that comes in and hits a double and a home run. Like, what are you doing? And I'll let y'all have it, but it just turned my stomach to watch it because it was so ignorant. And I'm an old school kind of guy, but I get the analytics piece of it. But when a dude is dealing like that and he's at a very reasonable pitch count in the sixth inning, gotta let him work out of that. Gotta give him a chance. He's earned it.
Hey, JQ, you pretty much took exactly what I was gonna say too. You gotta go by you gotta feel the game as opposed to going by the I know the Rays and Cash, that's been his philosophy all along, that he likes to go by the the analytics of it all. But in that moment, Blake Snell was your guy. He's your ace. He's the guy that you leave in the game. He's the guy that's going to give you the best chance to get to a game 7 in that moment. I mean, you got to be able to feel. You got to be able to know your guy. You got to know your personnel. I always used to hear Isaiah Thomas say this when he was in the NBA. Hey, you got to know your personnel that's on the floor with you. And he had to know his personnel in that moment, as opposed to going with the analytics of it all. It was a dumb move. I mean, of course, I was pulling for the Dodgers. It was a dumb move for the Rays standpoint. But, I just think, his last name is Cash, but they should be taking some cash from him for making that dumb decision.
You mean Kevin Cash?
Straight cash on it. Kevin Cash killed it. Sorry.
I looked at it like this. No coach and no organization should be ruled by the analytics. The analytics is maybe a guide, maybe a history, maybe a probable, maybe a percentage. And where I was at on that whole thing, okay, the guy got the single. All right, send the pitching coach out there. How you feeling, dude? Can you get that? Can you get these outs on this inning? If he tells you no, we pull him. If he says no, I'm going to get these outs this inning. Yeah, go get them, Tiger. Go knock them out. And the other thing about that I was listening to on talk radio, and the shows I watched today. That guy was kind of befuddling the Dodgers. And then the minute they took him out, the Dodgers told themselves, we got him.
Yeah.
They told themselves in that dugout, we got him.
Now, the Rays have one of the best bullpens in baseball, but, it was just a dumb decision to take Snell out of the game in that moment. And he was incredible
last
night.
He didn't bring in the best dude. But the thing is, if you're going to take him out, which I still think is mistake number one, you compound that mistake by not bringing the best dude out the bullpen that you could bring. The dude they brought in had been giving up an earned run in every game that he's been in for like the last 8 starts. Like, don't bring in the worst bullpen reliever to face the heart of the lineup versus, leaving Snell in or bringing in the best bullpen guy. I have no idea what he was thinking about, bro. And if you listen to the post-game comments, you heard Mookie Betts and Bellinger when they said, how did you feel when Snell came out the game? It was like, ooh, I ain't going to question it, but, yeah, I was feeling pretty good. Like, you know what I mean? Like, if you look at somebody and see their facial expressions when they, in the moment when they got asked the question, you could tell how big of a decision that was from those guys playing the game. They were like, I don't know what they were thinking about, but I'll take it.
Boost their confidence.
That's what I'm saying. That's what exactly what I'm saying. Once they got the ink top, like, that sets up the lineup. They're like, oh, okay, woo, we're done with this dude. And it's like, not a Kevin Cash, bro. Come on, man. And everyone has nailed it as well. Like, you know, again, the analytics have gone too far. If you just let the guy pitch it out and go from there, too. What else you get? Anything else?
Kevin lost cash, homie.
Yeah, man.
There it is.
That dude had earned. He had earned the respect in that moment in that game. So he had 9 strikeouts. Like they had, I think at that point they had the most combined strikeouts in a postseason game at 21. At that point in the sixth inning, like you got to give him the benefit of the doubt at that point. You got to.
Mhm. And he was pissed too.
Mhm.
Yeah.
He said, "Fucking A," is what he said.
Oh yeah, we can read it.
Yep. The guy was in a zone. He was doing his thing. You know, it's amazing. And it, like you said, they should take cash from him. And it's horrible. As a coach, you know your players. You know their heart. You know their competitive, you know, how competitive they are. I've coached.
You got to go with your gut.
You got to go with you got F the analytics, throw that out in the trash, and go with your gut. Go with your heart.
Yeah.
And like I said, they had the benefit of going out and looking in his eyes and listening to where he wants to be and listening to the fire in him. And as a coach, that guy told me he's going to get these guys out. I'm believing him. I'm throwing out that analytics. And until he didn't, if he didn't, then we got an issue. But let him go until it's out there. And that one single wasn't out there.
Well, Blake, you know it's time for you to come on and join the Yankees, man.
But you know what? We talked about this before, and I forget which game it was in, and we talked about the aspect of the fact that they did give themselves a chance, Tampa, that is, the fact that if the pitching coach go out there, they look. They sent the manager. When you send the manager, it's already over, and that's why he got so upset. Why not send the pitching coach? Like you said, Curtis, send the pitching coach out there and say, give him a look in his eyes, talk to him, and give yourself the chance as an organization to say we're going to leave him in. I believe once you put the manager out there to go get him, he's done. Once he goes to the mound,
he's
got to
leave
him because it's
the manager. Made a decision
because
it's not.
Because
it's
not
he already made his mind up. That was because if you send the pitcher back, then that's why. Yeah, which is fair.
Agreed, and that's what I'm saying. Like, you compounded your reliance on the analytics to not even give yourself a chance, like Curtis and Robert said, to go with your gut, to, you know, talk to him, see how he sounds, see how he feels, look him in the eye and say, okay, you threw the manager out there and you totally took that piece of the element out of talking to him out of the game because you sent the manager out there. It was crazy, and I can't say
anything about that. That night, the first night, we didn't have any sports on since, like, July.
It's bad.
All right.
Bad soccer playing
now. Let's talk about
there is soccer, and I like that.
Bad soccer.
So let's let Rob do congratulations to the Dodgers. And Seager wins the World Series MVP as well. Go ahead, Rob.
Oh, yeah. Seager, also the MVP of the NLCS, too. He's come up big. They're all in the playoffs for the Dodgers. So. But, you know, they had a lot of players that came up big. I mean, Mookie Betts, you can go to Bellinger. Even JQ's favorite pitcher, Kershaw, came up big in the playoffs. And I mean, there's a lot of guys that really stepped up for the Dodgers. But obviously, Seager was incredible. I mean, what he had, he was on base 14 times in the entire series. He scored a season series best 7 runs. He drove in 5 more. How many homers did he hit in the series? He had homers in games 2 and game 4 in the series. Yeah, he was pretty dominant, and now he's just become the 8th player ever to win the LCS and World Series MVP honors in the same season. The last
LCS,
to do that was Madison. What did I say?
NLCS.
AL. NLCS.
Oh, my bad.
He's
NLCS.
So biased.
Help me out.
Yankees. So biased.
He's biased.
Goodness. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, he's the first player to do it since Madison Bumgarner of the Giants in 2014 to win the LCS and the World Series MVP.
Thanks.
So, an incredible accomplishment.
In LCS, once again, he's just so biased. But
Bumgarner won the NLCS in 2014.
I know that. You said ALCS. You said ALCS twice, bro. The Giants are in the National League last time I looked. But anyway, it goes.
We'll go back and rewind the show.
Yeah, you're going to listen to yourself say it twice.
Both of them were the NLCS and World Series MVP. Baumgartner as well as Seager.
Absolutely. You got to give a shout-out to the Dodgers, like you said earlier, second title for L.A., and the fact that it's 17 for L.A., for the Lakers, and 7 for the Dodgers to equal 24 for Kobe is just one of those crazy number things that, I don't adhere to it, but it just seems like it was all kind of aligned for the L.A. teams right now here in the summer and the late fall. But you know what? I tell you what, Seager better cut that trophy in half and give the other half to Mookie Betts, because that dude, Mookie Betts, had him postseason for sure. And Seager, no disrespect to him at all, and he deserves at least a piece of it. But, man, when you look back at it, and even Bellinger with his home runs, but you talk about the plays that you'll remember from that NLCS against the Braves, you'll think about Mookie with both those catches, you know what I mean, in those key hits. And you think about him in the World Series with the stolen bases. And it's just – he was so ridiculous. And you look at the Red Sox, like, as much money as y'all got – You traded that dude?
And the way he was scoring on fielder's choices from third to home.
Yes. Yeah. I mean,
he did that like two or three times in the playoffs. It's like unbelievable.
Yeah.
And he was
a machine on the base pass. I just don't understand that from the Red Sox. Go ahead, Rob.
Yeah. But no, you're exactly right. And personally, I thought he was the MVP of the NLCS. Let me make sure I'm saying it correctly here. because he saved about four or five runs from the Atlanta Braves from scoring. And the Braves, if it wasn't for Mookie, the Braves win that series. There's no doubt about it. He stopped the Atlanta Braves from scoring at least four or five times in that series alone with his arm and with his catching ability. So I thought personally he was the MVP. I could see it for Seager for the World Series, but I thought Betts was the difference maker in the NLCS, and he should have been MVP in the NLCS, in my opinion.
Yeah, I kind of second that. But I'm not going to take anything away from Tampa Bay. I thought their World Series might have been the Yankees, and I think they did baseball a huge favor by beating Houston the way they beat Houston, especially after this scandal that Houston got into last year and sank that butt. So I'm not taking anything away from Tampa Bay. But one of the things I'm thinking about now, LA's been on like a 7-year run of being in that championship game or being in the World Series, and they only got one. And then I remember, wasn't Atlanta at one time with Smoltz
them?
They were like on a 7, 8, 9-year run. And
7.
Didn't they only get
they
one
won.
World Series out
Two.
Of that?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm
they won like 15
won.
Pennants. They won like 15 titles or something crazy.
Yeah.
It was something crazy. It's like 13
yeah.
or 15. Like, it's double digits.
Yeah.
It's like 7 is not doing it justice. They went double digit titles in their division and got one. Double digit.
Yeah.
Don't keep bringing that up, man.
Pujols and St. Louis is kind of the same thing. They won a bunch of pennants and only got like one World Series out of that.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of
odd.
I find that odd.
We actually had 18 division titles, 17 National League pennants, man. So that's if you're going back. It's pretty worse, but, again, I guess you got to be in there, and even for us, we were just happy to get there, too, but that's just cool. They've actually won three, but in, like, the last, 10 years, literally that was what we had the most, man, so it's nuts. But, anyway, all good. What do you have, anything else on that, Lou, before we wrap up and talk about some NFL here? Cool.
Great
all right,
series. Great series. It was a fun series to watch. That double mistake and the guy, another fall – rounding the bases. Not sure what that was about. And then and then they couldn't get the ball out of two throwing errors. Unbelievable.
Yeah, Will Smith missed it. Yeah. That game five, Will Smith missed it. And that kid they got from St. Louis on waivers, he hit, what, 10 home runs in the postseason or something crazy? He just was it on fire.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. Major League Baseball, getting back to the Turner situation and investigating and possibly could be suspended at the start of next season.
They don't give a damn. They just won the World Series. Suspend me. It's going to be, what, four games and 162? Who cares? They don't give a damn.
They should care. There should be a fine or something like that for sure, man, but that's just me.
Yeah.
If you could suspend it for four or five games at the beginning of the season of a 162-game season, you are not going to care. Not coming off a world title. Mm-hmm. No chance. It's not like 16 games in the NFL or even 82 in the NBA. 162 games, you're going to take four games from me in the beginning of the next season coming off a title?
If I'm his teammate, I would be furious. You know you got the virus and you're coming around this close to me?
Yeah.
I would be furious if I was his teammates.
Yeah, but if they go 2-2 when he's suspended, they're good. Like, they don't care.
From the headline, what the hell were you thinking?
Yeah, well, you got to think about the context of 162-game season.
There's
one thing. NFL season, and it's two or three games, that's a lot bigger impact than four on 162. That's all I'm saying.
Oh,
I'll never end up caring.
Yeah, it's definitely – punishment's not fit the crime for that by any means.
Wow.
So.
The Lakers and Dodgers won the championships in the same year in 1988 as well.
1988?
1988, yep. The Dodgers and the Lakers won the championship the same year. And they're saying the Dodgers are the favorite to win it next year.
Of course.
I remember that 88 one, okay, at one time I was a sheriff's deputy.
That was Kirk Gibson, right?
Yeah.
Get the A's.
Yeah, Kirk Gibson. I was in the sheriff's office, and I should have been on duty. But I was getting my qualification signed off by another Dodger fan. And so while I was getting my qualification signed off as being a sheriff's deputy, we had the game on. And, you know, Kirk Gibson hit that home run and limped his way all the way around the bases. I'll never forget that, where I was, what I was doing. How fortunate I was to be where I was instead of what I was supposed to be doing.
So hurts, man.
How about Bellinger to Jared Goff? It's your turn now to win the championship.
And here, no pressure.
Well, Trust, man, again, hit off my guy, Dennis Eckersley, back in the day, Oakland A's, man. That was, man, the classic, man. So, anyway.
Where your A's at, Drake?
Yeah, I'll put it on in a quick second. Man, it's not a good thing right now, man. I'm going through some challenges right now. But I'll get it, man. I definitely have it. Hey, while that's happening, I'm going to go grab that. Let's talk about some NFL predictions here. We got some really good games here coming up in Week 8 here. We got a really big matchup with Steelers at the Ravens, if you will, man. So let's kick this off, Rob. Let's talk right about that one and then go around the horn. Go ahead.
Quite impressive, you know, with his 6-0 record, you know, held on to beat the Titans here at the end of the game this past weekend. When you look at what they're doing offensively, defensively, and special teams. But I think the Ravens are going to give them their first loss this weekend. The Ravens got 2 weeks to prepare. They're coming off a bye week. They're going to be at home. They're going to be motivated. Lamar Jackson in the game. Yeah, obviously, it's going to be a physical football game, right? It's going to be a collision match every time these two teams face each other. I think the Ravens will have some success controlling the clock in this football game and try to keep some of those weapons that the Steelers have on the sidelines. I like the Ravens, and I'm going to go with a similar score to what Steelers won this weekend, 27-24.
Oh, my
bad. Man, I wish I could say that. And if I feel like the Ravens had a better passing attack, I think that's where you can probably get the Steelers right now. But that's just not where they are right now, to me personally. I got to go with the Ravens. The Steelers. I just don't think the Ravens are going to have enough of a passing attack to be able to.
Going for.
Sorry, yeah, because I don't want to root for nobody. But I think the Steelers are going to win because I don't think the Ravens have enough of a passing attack. I think the Steelers, with their rush defense, can do enough to thwart, you know, Lamar
Mark
Jackson.
Andrews.
And, yeah, but that's just not enough. You got some really athletic linebackers for the Steelers. I just don't think the Ravens have enough passing attack to do it.
I got to kind of go with that, too. But this game for me is about what I really like in the NFL and what I didn't see in the Cleveland-Cincinnati game. I love defense. I love defense. And Mike Tomlin, I've seen him talk today, and they know they cannot let Baltimore control that clock by ground and pound. And they got a plan for that. And like you said, their, you know, Lamar's passing game may not get it done. But I think this is going to be a defensive tuggle. And the other thing I think is going to happen here, in that Tennessee game, Roethlisberger better wake up and better stop those mistakes. It was his mistakes that let that team back in that game. And Roethlisberger better be more on point and get his head out of his butt and get it right. And I think he will. And I think he realizes what he did last week in that Tennessee game that hurt them, that hurt Pittsburgh. And he can't do that again. So I'm picking Pittsburgh. I think it's going to be 28-24. But I'm picking Pittsburgh.
Hey, you look like Dave Stewart's twin, man, with that hat on.
That's right.
Oh, man,
that's a whole lot
of complexion difference, bro. Dave Stewart is
about dark. He looks like the light-skinned version.
Jake Caldwell is in the room. I literally walked down the stairs to grab my hat. And then, you know, Rob isn't in the chat, so, you know, there's no one really to look at, so I'm just looking at myself. So the one time you pop in, so that was pretty funny. But it's all good. Now, this is going to be a good game, man. I mean, again, this could be an AFC championship, you know, preview because you have a really good squad in the Steelers that, you know, are playing well. The one thing that you do have an advantage if you're the Ravens, they have been rested. They probably have been game planning for this particular game. So, you know that, again, they're going to be ready to play. Steelers are explosive, but, again, it comes down to, once again, can they stop that you know, dynamic of play of Lamar Jackson? So, you know, obviously Steelers are still good.
Will you have to sign
Dez
Bryant? That lets you know where your passing game is.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's a
good point.
But you know what that means. They're not looking to sign into the practice squad for him to end up at the end of the year on the practice squad. That's a stepping stone of coming in, learn the system, get it going, and then come up to the big club. That lets you know how they feel about their passing game. We have to go get a dude that has to play for 2 years and was never a burner.
Yeah, well, we'll see. Good call. Hey, let's talk about the next game. Rob's Saints.
Hold on,
I'm taking
the Steelers.
Oh, my bad, Lou. My bad. The Steelers all the way?
Yes.
Good deal. I'll let you start. We'll let Rob start. Then we'll let you get in here. So, Rob Saints at the paper champions here. They've been called the paper champions, the Bears, if you will. They looks like they've been exposed. Nick Foles. Man. Rob, I'll let you go ahead and start with that one, man.
Yeah, I know. The game's in Chicago, obviously. It's probably going to be windy. It's probably going to be chilly, looking at 30, 40 degrees. One thing I think the Saints have done a pretty good job over here the last couple of weeks, especially this past week against Carolina, they controlled the football for a good bit of the game. So they're going to move a ball control offense, running the football, throwing a sharp passing game. So I think they were going to control the clock against the Bears, and I don't think the Bears will be able to put up more points than the Saints. So I'm going to go 27-17 Saints on the road in Chicago, 2 years in a row.
Michael Thomas getting traded too, by the way.
Yeah. What the hell, they ain't gonna do no shit like that. They're not gonna do that.
You heard Sean Payton responded to those rumors, right?
I did, and that's what, and I was saying the same thing. We're not gonna. That dude is too ridiculous in this offense, and wait till we get to it to trade Michael Thomas. That's crazy.
Now, he may not be back this weekend either, but you know, let's see. You know, he didn't practice again today, so he still might be out another week. Hopefully, we get Emmanuel Thomas back at least. Sanders, I'm sorry, Emmanuel Sanders. Yeah.
Yeah, but you got no Allen Robinson probably. Allen Robinson's in concussion protocol for the Bears. Yeah. So I'm looking at you, Marshawn Lattimore, because you're the number one dude, Old State. Come on, bro. He had a great year last year. No, 2 years ago. It was your rookie year. And a little bit next last year. And right now he's been a little up and down. With no Allen Robinson and Nick Foles looking like Nick Foles and Nagy looking like one of the worst play callers. I don't care what it is. The Saints have Alvin Kamara. He can run the ball. He can catch the ball out of the backfield. You can fake to him, throw it to Jared Cook. To me, that should be more than enough to control the clock against the Bears against a really awful Bears offense who are going to give you some points and some turnovers because that's what they where they are right now. I just don't think they have the kind of team to take advantage of it being cold and being at home. I think it will probably hurt them as much as it hurts the Saints being a dome team. To be honest, they're like, God damn, it's really going to be 34 degrees out here today? And it's going to rain? Like, Nick Foles don't want to see that either. Like, they don't have enough of that, you know, as an identity to be able to impose their will on a dome team like the Saints coming into Chicago. Past Chicago teams, the good Chicago teams have had that ability to do that, put their hat on playing good defense, have a somewhat decent, you know, quarterback and a good run game. But that's not where the Bears are. The Bears' defense is okay, but their offense puts them in so many bad spots that I think it's going to happen again that I just don't see them beating the Bucs and the Saints in the same year. I just if that happens, then they got the mean tarot cards up there in Chicago. I just don't see that happening.
Yeah. Well, like you said, and that's what I'm looking for out of Chicago. Because I've never seen nothing like that. You guys are pro football players, and it doesn't look like you guys know how to play offense. And I'm trying to figure out, how do you have a pro football team in an offensive league, as a matter of fact, where everybody's spreading you out and throwing it all over the place and going up and down the field, and you guys look like dinosaurs out there. You guys look like you guys don't have any idea what you're doing offensively in Chicago. And it hurts, and it's a mess. But I do like Chicago's defense. And like I said, I like defensive football. And I'm seeing less and less of it in the NFL. But with Chicago, you usually see a defense. So, but they don't have enough offense to match what New Orleans is going to do going up and down the field. Chicago is not, it doesn't, cannot do that. They absolutely cannot do that. So that's New Orleans all the way.
Yeah, Akeem Hicks and Khalil Mack, you got to know where they at all times. That's for sure on that defense.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but Khalil Mack's got a back injury as well. And if you keep him out there for too many snaps, you can slow him down.
Mm-hmm.
Luke? All right, well, I hate to go against my brother's team, but I'm going to have to go with the Saints here.
Yeah, that's
all
what
right.
It is.
All right, so sorry to the brother. It's all good. Hey, we got the 49ers and the Seahawks. And again, the 49ers just put a whoop-ass on the Patriots, man. And now, obviously, the Patriots are complaining they didn't get enough practice time. Again, Cam Newton's coming back to earth. The Seahawks had a heartbreaking loss versus the Cardinals. And it's hilarious because a good buddy of mine bet on the game, right? And he turns the game off, and I'm like, yo, bro, you know that the Cardinals came back? He's like, what? Nah, it's over. He lost like 1,500 over the weekend, man. Cause he bet like wrong the whole time, man. And he's like, you kidding me? I'm like, bruh, the Cardinals are about to win this game. So he turns it back on and they kick the winning field goal. He was just beside himself, man. So
he bet JQ kind of money.
Are they going to be a little like mad about this whenever the 49ers come into town, or what say you about this, Rob?
The Seahawks rebounding this one. I know the 49ers was impressive. Going on the road and beating a bad New England team right now. But Seattle responds on this one. They're going back home. Hey, Russell Wilson realized, you know, he made a couple of mistakes in that football game. They're the better team. Tyler Lockett, DK Metcalf, in that group.
Yeah.
And they're going to come back and respond in this game. I look for Seattle to win by at least 10 points. I'm actually going to go 35-24 Seattle in this game. Russell Wilson is not going to have two bad games in a row. Not that he was bad, but he just made some couple of mistakes in that game that really cost the team. But he's not going to come back and play like that 2 weeks in a row.
And Rob, you know where I'm going to go with this. You do as well, Dre. You got the 49ers down multiple running backs. You got the Seahawks potentially down multiple running backs.
Chris Carson, yep. Mm-hmm.
But now we're talking about Jimmy Garoppolo versus Russell Wilson. You know where I was going with that. I was going for Russell Wilson because Russell Wilson can make magic happen in the fourth quarter in a tight game against a good defense, where I don't think Garoppolo can make that same magic happen, even against a banged-up Seattle defense, because he's also lost Deebo Samuel as well. So I just can't see Garoppolo outdoing Russell Wilson with them both being banged up at running back and Garoppolo losing Deebo Samuel in this game. Going to Seahawks.
Yeah, I told you guys a while ago, Arizona's going to be breaking some people's heart in this NFC West. They're going to be breaking some hearts. And the other thing that happened there, that Moore during that holding call in overtime when they got TK Metcalf in the end zone, that is something that can pull the hair out of a coach's head. Why was you and you saw Tyler Lockett do a perfect block out there, and this guy goes and grabs somebody's shoulder pads as TK Metcalf is going in the zone. Really mm-hmm. bad bonehead stuff for Seattle, and good for Kyler Murray. Like I tell you, I like watching them, but I have a little sadness. My second favorite running back in the NFL is that Kenyon Drake. And I have no idea where he went to college at. I really like him. And he went where?
Alabama.
Kenyon Drake was in Alabama. Wow.
Absolutely.
Yeah, man, I really like him. Yeah. And he went out in that game, and that hurts. But one of the other things I'm going to say, and you know I'm kind of a Nick Foles fan, but guess who looked worse than Nick Foles on Sunday?
Cam Newton.
Yeah, that boy in New England. Cam Newton. I thought Nick Foles looked bad. And then I saw Cam Newton. Holy smoke. Boy, he stink up the place.
They haven't practiced for a couple of weeks, though. They really haven't had a lot of practice. And then obviously he had the COVID. So a lot. I'm not using that as an excuse, but yeah, that was just a couple of things. That's what Belichick's going to tell you, too. But yeah, I'm just saying, you know, Belichick's a real friendly practice.
Ryan Tannehill and the Titans hadn't practiced for 10 days, and they went out there and whooped the shit out of Buffalo in that game on Tuesday. So,
that's a good call.
Yeah,
too.
No, you can't have that.
Three versus 1 week.
You can't have that. Cam Newton's supposed to be better than Ryan Tannehill. Can't have it. Okay, we keep going, but yeah, I'm not going to.
Ryan Tannehill has had a definitely.
I don't think he's better than Tannehill no more, bro.
Yeah, not anymore.
Yeah, but you expect Cam Newton to be able to respond under the same circumstances that Ryan Tannehill responded to, true or false?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Thank you. That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying.
Rue, what you got? What you got?
Which game are we in now?
Huh?
49ers and Seahawks.
Seahawks on the rebound.
It's tough, man. It's tough. Everyone's going for the Seahawks. I just don't sleep on the 49ers. They have that rushing attack, but they can put any running back in there to be successful, man. So, I mean, I'm with you, though. It does come down to Garoppolo, man, because, again, but I do think they'll be able to run. But, again, it's going to come down to Russell Wilson making plays, too. So I agree with you on that. Rob, go ahead and do the fantasy shout-outs here. We got, looks like about 8 minutes or so before we do like the show here. Yeah. So go ahead and do the fantasy shout outs if you will, and then we'll let wrap up these games, and then we'll talk about the Bengals trading Carlos Dunlap to the Seahawks, if you will.
All right. Let's see. Let me find my notes here. All right. League number one, the biggest win of the week, Andre's team, straight cash homie. 164.78. The Gurley and Cups, 85.96. Eagles Chick for Life, that's Christelle in Albuquerque. She's in first place with a 6-1 record. League number two, Mark in New Orleans, his team, Boxcar Willie 02, had the biggest win of the week, 204.04 over the EP Diablos, 98.72.
And
Andre's team, 204.04. Andre's team
sorry.
In first place, playoffs, 5-2. All right, league number three, my team, Crazy Crew, had the biggest win of the week.
You beat me.
65.60 over Kraken, 116.92. JQ's team, Ohio Players, 6-1 in first place. League number four, my team had the biggest win of the week, Flash Ford, 223.90 over Andre's Black Lives Matter team, 122.38.
Ooh,
I saw
that.
My team, Flash Ford, in first place at 6-1. And those are your fantasy shout-outs of the week. As we get ready to go into, what week are we getting into? Eight? I think week eight.
Yeah. I beat JQ team. That's all that matters, though. So, you know, it's all good.
The what?
I beat JQ team, though. That was good.
It was like, again, like sweating bullets. He was sweating bullets on that Monday night game, though. He was
like,
oh,
woo,
shit.
But I was talking junk, but I was
no,
like,
he got me.
I just won that one, man. That was like a good switching backs right there, man. So that was close, man. Let's wrap this up here. We got the Patriots at the Mission Bill. Do the Patriots come back? Are they licking their wounds from this game? We got about 3 minutes here. Or, you know, because both teams, you know, didn't, you know, have, you know, pretty impressive performances either. So what happened in this one, Rob?
I think the Patriots come back and be competitive, but I still don't think it'll be enough to beat the Bills. I think the Bills will be a little too strong for them. When you look at Josh Allen, I think he'll bounce back. Even though they won this past week, he wasn't that impressive. So I look for him to bounce back. I look for the Bills team to bounce back. I think it's going to be a fairly low-scoring game. I'm going to go 21-14 Buffalo, responding and winning at home, beating New England.
I'm going to go with the Patriots. Because every time that you want to dig dirt on them, put them in the grave, when it looked like that, they're going to respond, and I feel like they're going to respond against the Bills. And the reason why I also think they're going to respond against the Bills, we were so hyped on Josh Allen and the Bills early on when he got to that start. He got obliterated by the Titans. They played a horribly bad game, and I watched a lot of that being out against the Jets. The Jets were beating them for most of the three quarters of that game, and they won that game in the fourth quarter. But you're looking at a Bills team, if you look at Josh Allen, what they had happening with that defense, you're thinking, why are you struggling with the Jets? With struggling badly with the Jets. Like, they were down for most of that game. So
they had to kick six field goals. They scored not one touchdown.
Six field goals.
Yeah,
I had Josh Allen, too. I was pissed.
Yeah, I just feel like I look at that and say, this is one of those games where, and then the other flip side of it is, don't get it twisted. Bill Belichick sees what Tom Brady is doing in Tampa Bay, and they're saying, oh, Tom Brady don't need Bill Belichick. Bill Belichick needed Tom Brady. All those things, also with Cam also saying, if I don't do better, I don't lose my job. You put all those things in the crucible, the Bills are like, damn, why do we got to run to this week? Take New England.
Okay.
Only problem is New England don't have nobody that can run the football or catch it.
That is a big problem. Well, Cam can run.
He'll figure it out.
It is a division game. And like I said at the beginning, before they even got Cam, and in New England, I would have got Cam for one reason. And like I said, if I'm Bill Belichick, I'm telling Cam, you're the best quarterback in this division. Cam, you're the best quarterback in this division. Win the division. Cam, win this division. But I think this is Buffalo.
Find out what Tua can do.
If Buffalo doesn't win this game, they're not going to win the division.
Uh-huh.
If they do not win this game, they will not win that division. So Buffalo better get on it.
Gotcha.
I agree.
Hey, Lou, I know you're going to jump off here. What do you say about that? And then do the Chiefs, Jets and the Chiefs, man. Just real quick, man.
Chiefs.
That's all it is. Okay.
Only right there.
Try to set it up.
All right, guys. Thanks. Good night.
Oh, yeah, Chiefs.
And he's off.
Yeah, I don't even think we need much analysis on that game. Chiefs big.
There it is. All right, before we wrap up, we do got to talk about the Cowboys at the Eagles. And Curtis, I love this because every time I think about this, I think about Curtis talking about 44 players off the street playing for the Eagles and whipping the Cowboys. There's a lot of things that happen with Cowboys, to Andy Dalton, to Ezekiel Elliott. You know, it's like a lot of things are – it seems like there's a lot of problems with America's team, Curtis. So what say you really quick before we get ready to wrap the live portion of the show?
Well, America's team is doing the best they can to be unwatchable. And one of the things I want to tell Jerry right now, Jerry, you're on the verge, and one of the things you count on is the TV revenue and the fact that everybody wants to put their eyes on the Cowboys. But, boy, the way you guys are doing stuff, it looks like you guys are going to become unwatchable. And if you guys don't get your act together, and for me, after Sunday, I would have fired that whole coaching staff. I really would have.
What the hell is up with
McCarthy? I would have fired. He got conned. And I need to make a statement. And McCarthy, get out.
It is too early, though. But
he's only been there seven games.
I don't know what the hell. He has only been there seven games. It's too soon. Like,
you're talking about a guy that's won a Super Bowl, and you're going to get rid of him after seven games?
No, but I get what you're saying. And I'll just jump in here real quick.
I don't think Aaron Rodgers was a genius, and I'm not a big Aaron Rodgers fan, but I'm starting to think that Aaron Rodgers knew something to get that man kicked out of Green Bay. There's something that Aaron Rodgers must have knew something. He really must have.
No, so here's the thing. You got to split that game into two parts. I hear what you're saying. Andy Dalton was Andy Dalton again. He was atrocious. Before he got hurt,
he was
in that
horrible.
Game.
He was poolicious.
Yeah, and there's no way to sugarcoat that. But the piece where people get mad at McCarthy is the culture around the Cowboys. That was a dirty ass hit on Andy Dalton sliding, where Bossy took his head off, and nobody jumped up and came to Andy Dalton's defense. There wasn't no fighting. There wasn't no pushing. There was nothing. That is terrible for your starting quarterback to get ambushed like that, and nobody comes to his defense, and he don't even know where he is after that hit, and nobody says anything. That's an indictment on the culture in Dallas. That's awful.
He
should be
suspended. Where was he? He said Pasadena.
Yeah, he said Cincinnati. Like, that's bad.
Fired.
Yeah,
McCarthy,
bad.
get out of my state.
Get out of Jerry's house, huh? Ladies and gentlemen, you all recognize the music. We are wrapping up the end of our live portion of the night. We thank you all for tuning in to another great edition with Talking Sports with the 12th Man. Obviously, we're getting ready to go into our OT portion, where we got a lot more great sports talk coming up ahead here. So we can't give you this portion of the show live, so click on the same link to get the rest of the show. Click on the same link tomorrow, Friday, the rest of the week. The next Wednesday, we'll be back on the air live. Post-election night, next Wednesday night, we're going to be back on 11 p.m. Eastern Time, 10 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Pacific Time. Get out and vote, people. Good night, and wear your mask over your nose and your mouth.
Listen,
not
stop
just over
being
your
ridiculous.
Mouth.
Just stop fighting so we can get over this. Wear your damn mask, wash your hands, take a shower, wash your face. For the love of God, it's not that serious. Just do it for a couple of weeks so we can be over it. Like, why is this such a big deal just to conform for, like, a couple of weeks and be cool? Yeah, but again, I appreciate everybody for listening to the show, and we'll get to some more stuff here in the post game. And we'll talk to you next week. Hey, y'all also be safe on Halloween. Just buy your own candy. Don't go to nobody's house. Yeah. Don't trust it. Get your own damn candy. Turn on some music. Put on, you know, the monsters or whatever you want to do in the house for the kids, whatever they want to do to get scared. Put it on in the house. Don't do it.
I don't know about y'all. I'm going to get some Indian food on Halloween.
What'd you say, Rob?
What?
I don't know about y'all, but I'm going to get some Indian food on Halloween.
That's what I thought I heard. That's
what I was
like.
That's why I was like, I get that.
Y'all
like,
had a candy.
Excuse like random statement. It's like, what? We're talking about Halloween candy. He's like, I'm going to get Indian food. I'm like, what? How did that even like correlate to what we're talking about? Oh, man. All right, Rob. I don't even know, bro.
Hey, you know, let me tell you guys. Let me tell you guys something. Let me tell you of Halloween's past. You know, 10 years ago, I was going out with a girl that had these. That had these grandkids, and there was this neighborhood that I went to, and I'd never seen this before. This is the first time I ever seen this. There was four houses in that neighborhood. Okay, you go to the front of the houses where all the kids went and got candy, and then the people directed all the adults go around the back and get your treat. So. I never seen that before. So all of us adults head over to the pass, the back, and they got a shot of
I told
Johnny
you.
Walker Red for all the adults doing the trick or treating. And I thought that was the neatest thing. And the little plastic little shot glass, you got a little shot in you. And you kept on going, picked up your kids in the front, and kept on going. And it was like four houses like that in this one neighborhood I did. I thought that was so cool.
Are you just bringing your own flask and put it in your back pocket?
JQ, he's talking about experience over there, man. Is that what you do, JQ? Have a flask in the back pocket?
Sometimes.
It's all good. I don't have a problem with that. Hey, we're going to talk really quickly. We're going to wrap the show up here. Let's do it real quick. I want you, JQ, to talk about the Bengals trading Carlos Dunlap to the Seahawks. And then also congrats on the Big Ten comeback, if you will, this weekend. You know, again, that's pretty amazing that Big Ten is back. Ohio State at Penn State, you know, obviously we think Ohio State's going to win. Yeah. But,
game of the week in college football. I don't think it's going to be much of a game, though.
Yeah.
I do. The Dunlap thing is that once you go out there and you start, you know, fighting assistant coaches and that's in the game, you put your house up on IG and say, you know what, come get my house from me. I mean, he forced the Bengals' hand. They also have taken back some of his snaps. But Dunlap has not really been the same during the past couple of years. And you see in the Fetchy guy, it was a seventh-round pick and a backup offensive lineman. If you're that guy, a defensive end and other franchises see that you're that guy and they feel like a team is not using correctly, like you could almost get some more out of the trade for that if you're the Bengals. I think that was just them getting something out of not just having to cut him out right because he just wasn't doing a whole lot for Cincinnati. He's gotten older, and they've got to revamp that defense because if you look at the Bengals, the offense has kept them in a lot of games. They got blown out by Baltimore. That's a loss. They lost that game at Cleveland. That's a loss. That's two losses. Every other game, if you watch them, they could have won those games. The offense did enough to win those games, including Indianapolis and the Chargers and the slash Cleveland game. You're at a point where they're at a crossroads where I think they've got the offense somewhere figured out, but they got to get the defense figured out. So not overly surprised, and I wouldn't be surprised if you see maybe some more minor trades from the Bengals for some veterans that just don't want to necessarily be there. Hopefully it's not A.J. Green, but it might end up being A.J. Green. And just to cap it off, whenever Ohio State plays Cincinnati, at least right now, it's going to be a big game. I agree with Urban Meyer when he talked about it on the Fox Network about the whiteout not being the same because there are no fans. When you have 100,000 fans in there with all white on screaming and being loud, it totally affects the game. He said he thought as a coach that it put 7 to 10 points difference in the game. And I was like, wow, that's a lot of points to put on just a crowd factor. So now having that without the fans there does take some away from Penn State. But you also look at Penn State, first game out on the road. Indiana plays a lot of teams tough. They end up losing most of those games, but they play a lot of teams tough. And I think they just jumped up a bit, a Penn State team fan. We're supposed to beat Indiana. We're looking forward to Ohio State. They will have their undivided attention to Ohio State. I think Ohio State wins, but I think it's a close game. I think people look at that Indiana, what happened last week, and think Ohio State dump trucks Spencer State. I don't think that's the case. I think that's a 7, max 10-point game. That's going to be a tough game for Ohio State.
I think Ohio State wins 42-28. I think they win. I think it's going to be a nip-and-tuck game early, but I could see mid-third quarter on Ohio State kind of distance themselves a little bit and pull away and win that game. I think the talent disparity will show itself in the end. I just think Ohio State is going to be too strong in the end of that game. Yeah, getting back to the Bengals and the Browns, I was at a sports bar down in Tampa this past Sunday. In order for me to watch my Saints, I had to go to a sports bar, and Saints game kind of finished early, so I kind of saw, and even while watching the Saints, I saw a good bit of that Browns-Bengals game, and just a lot of nip-and-tuck games going back and forth, scoring points. I thought the Bengals had actually won it, and then the Browns kind of went down the field and scored. J.Q.'s favorite school, Michigan players, gets a catch game-winning touchdown to end that game. And but those 12, well, I guess they're 1 o'clock Eastern, you all, but they had a lot of great finishes in that bracket. And that at one point I looked up, the Saints and the Panthers was 27-24, Cleveland and Cincinnati was 27-24, Pittsburgh and Tennessee was 27-24. All three of those games kind of came down on the wire. So it was a good Sunday to be at a sports bar to catch those games where you can kind of see all of them all at once. Yeah. So, yeah, there was some really entertaining football games, including that Cincinnati-Cleveland game. And Burrow was great. And you got to give Baker credit. He was great in that game, too.
And Atlanta, Detroit. And that's what got lost in it. I actually was out as well.
I forgot that game. Yeah, it was like because four games. It was like all these dead, a lot of games that had great finishes.
Yeah.
Well, and
she at the crossroads,
the thing that now I used to call Atlanta Jekyll and Hyde, and it's not that anymore for me. Watching Atlanta Sunday, I have to go with, why do they always want to lose these games? What are they going to do next to lose a football game? And every week is turning into that for Atlanta. You're watching that team, and you're wondering, what is Atlanta going to do next to lose this football game? Because
that's why they're going to get rid of everybody. Yeah.
Yep. That is horrible.
And just to – I kind of think of the anatomy of a couple of decisions because, first and foremost, whenever – there was one point whenever they were up and they decided to go for it on 4th and 5, and they were in field goal range. And then Matt Ross, let's go for it. As a coach, you'd be like, no, we're not going to go for it. We're going to take the points. And they kick the field goal. Now, again, we're up. And then we don't have to necessarily – if we go back and score, we're not like in that situation like we were in. So really bad decision coaching-wise. And you can have all the faith in your team, but you're like, yo – statistically, we need to kick the field goal right here. It doesn't matter. And then, of course, Matt Ryan makes a bad throw, and then we're out. Then, of course, turn events happen. We score, obviously, but then we give them enough time, and then that 3 points is, obviously we lose by one, but if we hadn't kicked that field goal, we wouldn't even be in this situation. So it's kind of the anatomy of decisions that kind of like stack, and then it's like everything that we've gone, every decision, Curtis, has gone bad, man. So it's just you got to, like, wash the stench of that whole coaching staff. Or, I mean, if I could trade Matt Ryan, I would, but he's got a big-ass contract. We ain't getting rid of him. I love Julio. We're not getting rid of him. We have talent, but it's like you got to be able to put that together, So it's very frustrating. And we had a
you can get rid of Matt Ryan.
Offensively, that seems still scary, though. I mean, that's, offensively, with Ridley and Julio Jones. And Todd Gurley's actually been playing better than I thought he would this year, too. And offensively, they're still a scary team. And then you're throwing Hayden Hurst, too, in the mix there in that offense. Yeah, offensively, they're still a scary team.
Yeah, it's amazing to watch them lose. And it's
amazing.
It's, like I said, it blows my mind. And it's turning to, when you watch them, how are they going to – here's the car wreck coming. How are they going to lose this one?
Listen, if Kirk Cousins can get that kind of money from the Vikings, there's somebody that would take on those 1 or 2 years of Matt Ryan
and say, okay, we sucked, and draft the quarterback high and let Matt Ryan finish it out. I'm not saying it's untradeable. That's all I'm saying. If Kirk Cousins can make that money doing what he's doing and they have no heir apparent, they can find somebody. Don't kid yourself. They can.
You look at the Chicago Bears right now. You think they would rather have Matt Ryan in their quarterback situation?
Oh, well, maybe. I was hoping for maybe the Patriots at some point. They can kind of screw up.
Or even the Patriots.
Again.
You don't think Patriots would rather have him in their situation? You're right.
I don't even know right now.
Jacksonville? That's not what I thought about,
too. You got to figure this out.
Chucks, the Indianapolis Colts.
Don't give me hope. Do not give me hope. The Colts are the team that, you know, right there. That's the team. Don't give me hope, man. You know. But, yeah. You
right.
Take the contract, too. Yeah. Well,
yeah.
Let's pray. Let's do a prayer for that, too, man. That something's got to change real quick, man. This is just nonsense, man. I'm over it, man. But you're basically saying we're going to start from scratch, man, and you're like lukewarm, man, so it's bad. Hey, Rob, JQ, I know we're going to wrap this up here. I'd like for you guys to kind of like, you can kind of pick your topics, if you will, too, because I'm kind of curious about Mahomes lobbying the Raptors, too, if you will, for Kansas City. But, you know, whatever you guys want to talk about, let's kind of let you open forum, and then we'll wrap up the show. So I'll let you kick it off, JQ, if you will.
Yeah, I was when I heard Maury going to Philadelphia, and I know there were some rumbles that he said once he left Houston, he was looking for an East Coast Navy to East Coast franchise to look into. But, man, if you're the architect of that Houston team and you step down, and what's it been, a month and a half since he's left Houston and now going to Philadelphia, what does that say about Westbrook and Harden that I step down? I can no longer do any more with y'all and what's happening right here. I'm going to step down and not even take a year. I'm not even going to take a quarter off, not even 3 months, not a half year or 6 months. I'm going to take a month and a half and go to the Sixers. And not necessarily be the GM, would be the president of operations and work with Elton Brand. But, you know, Elton Brand is probably hanging on by a string. He's done some good things, some bad things. But that's a
I heard that. Elton Brand was the first one I thought about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's an indictment. I thought about Houston. My first thought was, damn, he said, I can't with these dudes no more. I can't win with y'all. I made a mistake. I thought I could put y'all together and y'all could do this. I'm clearly am wrong, and I'm not taking any more years off my life trying to make this work. I'm done. And then to go to Philadelphia to where you've seen, you know, Embiid and Simmons have the problem, he said, I'd rather take on that problem than deal with you two. Like, that to me was really telling from somebody that I respect Daryl Morey's, you know, NBA IQ and what he's done. For him to make that decision to go there in that short span of time was really shocking to me. I was like, wow, that's not a good look, Westbrook and Harden. Not a good look.
You know what's interesting? Daryl Morey, and by the way, the Rockets hired Stephen Silas, Paul Silas' son, as the head coach today. He was assistant coach for the Dallas Mavericks, so he's the new head coach of the Houston Rockets. But one thing you have to say about Daryl Morey is he's a very aggressive general manager. He's going to, you know, if you don't win a championship, he's going to come back the next year and try to make a biggest blockbuster move you can think of to try to see if he can put together a championship roster. So you have to appreciate that about him. He's going to find a way to put some talent on your roster. Is it going to work all the time? No, but sometime it will. And it just didn't work out with Harden and Westbrook. You know what's interesting? I was thinking about this earlier today when you think about Oklahoma City when they had Kevin Durant, Russell Westbrook, and James Harden and Serge Ibaka when they had that team together. And they didn't want to go over the luxury tax at the time. So they had to trade Harden. But if you go back and think about that, if they would have got rid of Russell Westbrook and kept Harden and Durant and Serge Ibaka, that team might have won 3 or 4 championships and possibly might even still be together today if they would have kept that team together. And,
if they had just got rid of Ibaka, they chose Ibaka over Harden. Like, how did you choose Ibaka over Harden? I didn't go give me a rim runner. You can't get you a Harden. That was the most ridiculous decision of all time. I'm sorry, but go ahead.
And that's the point I'm trying to make. They got rid of the wrong guy. They should have got rid of Westbrook. I think Westbrook is the guy that just is not championship material. As talented as he is, he's just not a guy that brings your team together. And I think if you'd have kept Harden, you'd have kept Ibaka and Durant, I'm sure they would have at least won one or two championships. I just thought about that earlier today, and it's interesting I had an opportunity to bring it up on the show, but they got rid of the wrong guy. And, you know, you just mentioned it, JQ, and that's probably why Morey's probably like, damn, I made that mistake and traded away Chris Paul for Russell Westbrook just because Paul and Harden didn't get along. Hey, you got to say Shaq and Kobe didn't get along. You got to find a way to make that work. And so I think it was a move, and he realized he probably made a mistake. And his best opportunity, like you said, was to leave. So very interesting call there in Daryl Morey and Philly. So it's going to be interesting to see how Wood Morey and Doc Rivers can do, you know, with Elton Brand possibly still being around as well. You know, a couple of things I'll touch on real quick. While we're still on the NBA, you know, Andre just was wondering about the why Kansas City is soliciting the Toronto Raptors to play in Kansas City for a year. Obviously, we're still in a pandemic. The NBA is proposing not to go back to the bubble. They're proposing the 72-game season as of right now to start on December 22nd with a play-in tournament for some teams to get into the playoffs and for the season to be over sometime in July, early August, before the Olympics going into next year. And one of the situations here is kind of like what the Blue Jays had to do in baseball. They had to play their home games in Buffalo because with the pandemic right now, Canada is not allowing passengers to travel, passengers to enter their country unless it's like really
central business. Can't get our shit together. Yep. Uh-huh.
Yeah,
uh-huh.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And so and the Raptors – and if they don't allow, you know, NBA U.S. teams to enter the country, then they may have to play in the U.S. city until this pandemic is over, or still they just don't allow travel across the borders there between the U.S. and Canada. So that's what that's all about. Kansas City is soliciting, saying, hey, we got an NBA arena. Yeah, come and play with us for a year. I also hear Newark, New Jersey, and Seattle might also, as well as Buffalo as well, might be up for consideration. My thought process on that is Toronto, if I'm not mistaken, they're in the same division with Boston, Philly, or they're in the same division with Detroit, Chicago. I think they're in the same division with Toronto, Boston, Philly, and the Knicks.
I think so.
So if you're going to play in that same division, you're probably better off keeping them in Newark or Buffalo just to keep them in.
They don't play no damn Newark or Buffalo.
So what?
They don't play no damn Newark or Buffalo. I would rather go to Kansas City. Think about it.
And fly games in that division. Now, but one thing
about
Kansas
about
City, though, you're going to get some good barbecue and some good big beans.
But think about the footprint. Think about what Oklahoma City did when the New Orleans went over there to them. Like, if you're Toronto, you can go get a whole new footprint in the middle of America that you would have never, ever gotten if you go there for a year. Some dudes was playing in a minor league stadium in Buffalo. They probably hated that shit. They're going to play in Newark, and they're going to hate that. They could probably still get some decent digs in Kansas City, and you get a whole new geographical region that are going to tune in to Toronto games. You might get some of those dudes in Newark to watch those Toronto games because they're going to play those teams you just talked about, and you're going to get the overlap where they're going to see them anyway. You can get the whole of middle of America to maybe fall in love with the Raptors where you would never gotten that opportunity before. I go to Kansas City.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good point. But also, Buffalo, you got to realize, only an hour and a half from Toronto, too. So you're giving some of your fans a close proximity to get to the game. And you realistically can build on that Buffalo market because they're in close proximity to Toronto. And so when you're back in Toronto, you know, you got a whole another market that you can build upon that can come to your games. And even though Toronto in the NBA, they sell out all the games anyway. I mean, they have one of the best fan bases in the NBA. But, you know, to me, Buffalo would be more ideal because of the proximity of Toronto, and you can continue to build on that fan base and that proximity as well.
I get it.
The only other thing.
Decision. Yeah, good.
Yeah. Then I'll touch on the top five quarterbacks. Even though Russell Wilson, like we said, you know, had a couple of miscues in that game, I still got him right now as the number one guy. Aaron Rodgers, he had a setback against Tampa Bay, rebounded this past week. I have him at number two. And even though I think Patrick Mahomes is the guy you will want to have on your franchise so far this year, I got him in the number three spot. Hey, and I got Kyler Murray. I moved him all the way up to number four. He's been outstanding, and he really showed it. And at number five, I have to go with Ben Roethlisberger right now.
No Tom Brady?
Not yet.
But he's
going to be a man. He has had two great games in a row, but he was still a little shaky before that. He's going to have to give me a third one. But I will say this about Tampa. Man, they looking good. And they now, the scary thing about Tampa right now is they're really playing good, great defense, too. And I know we're talking about a lot about Tom Brady and their weapons, but Devin White, that guy, from middle linebacker from where? LSU. Playing great. He's quarterbacking that defense to a T right now, and they're playing outstanding as well. I mean, I hate to say it, and, you know, I'm transitioning to Tampa. I got the Rays jersey on, even though they lost, and the Rays hat. But I'm transitioning to Tampa, but I told the people there, you know, there's no way in the world y'all going to get me to wear no Buccaneers paraphernalia. You can forget it.
And you can see it.
Well,
I also got the linebacker on my team, Levante David.
Yeah, yeah, they got a team.
Yeah,
they got a team. They're playing like the best team in the NFC right now, and arguably one of the best in the NFL. I mean, they got it going on right now. You got to give it to them.
You got to put Tom in that, bro.
What I want to say that's a lot of what Tom Brady does. Even if you didn't put him in your best quarterback thing, that leadership and that drive that he has been contentious down there in Tampa Bay. And, you know, I'm not a New England fan at all, but I don't have that much against Tom Brady, and I do call him the GOAT.
But he's definitely the best ever.
Yeah. And what you see out of him is that leadership, is that football knowledge, and that fiery stuff. He gets out there and start yelling at guys, and, you know, he's got their respect down there. I'm also going to point this out. The Timber soccer team here in Portland that I watched just beat up on L.A., beat up on the L.A. Galaxy. And they're saying that this might be the worst L.A. Galaxy
team. Oh, my gosh,
left
the MLS.
Yeah, MLS. But where I'm going to is the Vancouver Whitecaps had to do where they came down and played their home games in the Portland Stadium, in our MLS
like
stadium
team,
here. Yeah, they played three games down here in the MLS. They played them down in Portland. So that's not unusual. But what I want to talk about it's going to be hard to win this NFC West. But Seattle, I can see Seattle went and got that guy from Cincinnati. They know where they're weak at. And I think they're holding the guy they got from the Jets. I think they're holding him back. Yeah, I think so. But they know they're not going to win this division if they don't get this defense to shore up. And everybody in the West got power offenses. And you got to stop these power offenses. You got to stop them. And so
gotcha.
I see the moves that Seattle make, and they seem really positive to me. And they seem really like they're really counting on, and they're really thinking about what they're going to need to do to win this division and possibly be in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, every team in that division has got a winning record. Every single one of them. Everybody's over 500. I mean, the 49ers are in last place at 4-3. I mean, too bad they weren't in the NFC East. They would have a two-game lead in first place.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, like I said, it's all good. Well, let's go ahead and wrap up the show, guys. Go ahead, Rob.
Ladies and gentlemen, once again, thank you all for tuning in to another great edition with Talking Sports to the 12th Man. We're going to be back on next Wednesday night. Once again, it's going to be 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time for our friends on the West Coast. Hey, California, Colorado, be safe out there with those fires. To my peeps down in New Orleans, you know, be safe. I know we got a lot of power outages down there. Should be back up in a few days. Everybody be safe. And in Louisiana and the lines of these storms as well. Hey, and around the country, wear your mask, people. Wear your mask. Wear your mask. Wear your mask.
Oh, hey, don't forget distance. To say the other thing, too.
Mm-hmm. What's that?
Yeah, don't forget. Yeah. On Tuesday, November 3rd, make sure you vote. Make America great again. And we all know Trump's going to win this thing. Let's go.
Well, all
right, Rob,
I hope not.
Hey, all we're going to do is say make sure you go out and vote, people.
Make sure you get out and vote, people.
But we're not endorsing any candidates on this show. And we're definitely not endorsing Trump on this show.
Yeah. You know what's funny? I don't know what that little punch in the stomach was in New Orleans, that little fight was about. What you didn't talk about with Tampa Bay, A.B. in Tampa Bay with Brady. That's going to be interesting. That's going to be a good watch. And I hope he doesn't go down there and blow stuff up.
If he's healthy, they're going to be hard to stop. They're going to have too many weapons.
A ton of weapons. And I'm going to wrap it up. I'm going to put it on a personal note. Like I talked about earlier, my wife is going out of town early Friday. She's not back till Tuesday. So, y'all just pray for your homeboy. I'm trying to get as much sports in as I can this weekend. But it's going to be me and my girls. I'm trying to make sure we spend some daddy-daughter time with them, keep them off that pole and all that good stuff. But y'all keep me in my prayers.
We got you, JQ. That's always a noble thing, man.
That's the most important job in the world.
Absolutely.
There it is, man. Keep them off that pole. Keep them off the pole, man. But we know that you're at least a good dad, man. So that's only whatever that's like intense daddy issues, man. So, you know, holding the conversation.
Appreciate you, man. Yeah.
Anyway, all right, guys, man. It's been great. Get some rest, man. Like we talked about, get out and vote. We'll have a post show next Wednesday. I know I've already sent my absentee ballot in, both me and Marcy, so we are covered. You know, we don't want, you know, we don't talk about endorsements. We know we ain't going that direction by any means. But,
I early voted, too.
I voted the other day. I voted Friday.
Man. Yeah. Oh, my God.
Yeah. We don't know who that was on the show, but we do not endorse Donald Trump. Not one bit at all. We need somebody that's going to unify our nation.
He knew what he was doing. Let's not even talk about it, give any more credence.
Fall back.
Yep, my favorite.
Oh, yeah, I'm going to need that extra hour of sleep.
You need
it. Saturday night.
You're going to enjoy that, man. Yeah, enjoy that.
Definitely.
All right, gentlemen.
Yeah, follow
get some rest, man. We'll see you guys same time, same channel next week, man. Peace. Be good.
Good night, people.
All right, man. Y'all have a good night.
Good night.